Great. So the next presentation is going to be a drill down where we're going to talk more about vocabularies. And to sort of help motivate the need for vocabularies, Ralph Handel is here from SAP, and I think he'll talk a little bit about what they were doing before vocabularies and kind of how they've hopefully helped address the situation. So
yeah,
take it away, Ralph.
I'm Ralph Handel. I'm with SAP's Central Product Architecture and Technology Strategy Group. And my job is relatively simple. I want to put OData into all of our products. All our products will speak OData eventually. And why do we want to do that? We have a lot of products with potentially interesting data, and this data is only useful if we can get it out of the systems to the consumers in a way that these consumers like to interact with data in current UI paradigms. And that's a bit tricky because broadly our interface technologies fall into two categories. Either they were designed for a special UI technology and can only be used with that UI technology, or they were built for application integration and make it very hard to get at data in a format that is appropriate for building UIs. So we wanted something in between, something that is built on web principles and centered around a logical data model, the way that the user perceives the data on the UI. And OData gives us exactly that. So the first major area of applications where we used OData is mobile online apps. They run on mobile devices. They present data as it is now, not as it was synced last night. Actually, direct access to data with simple interactions, just viewing the data or giving the data a little nudge so that a business process can go in one direction or the other. And these kinds of applications we built using OData. And when we built these applications, we quickly realized there are some common things that we need in order to get a good mobile experience. If you see data that looks like contact information, you just want to add it to the address book. If it's about something that is happening in the near future and affects you, you want to add it to your calendar, just one click, and you want to have this experience consistently across all these applications. So you have to express this meaning in the data. The data has to tell the application what can be done with it. And most of these tagging information is structured, and we wanted to have that uniformly in all of our data models. Next thing is data. Visualizing data is typically done graphically. And there are lots of fancy ways of diagramming data, but if you look at it closely, it's typically just a list of data records, and some of the columns are measures, others are dimensions, and if you just know that, you can pick any kind of visualization that you like. The server might tell you, okay, this data looks nice as a pie chart, but it's up to the user to actually choose which diagram he wants to see. So we need some kind of annotations just to express this analytical meaning of the data. And we are not exposing databases. We are exposing data that lives within layers and layers of business logic. We access this data through the APIs. These APIs have been built by thousands of developers over three decades, and they get as diverse as you can get with that many people in that much amount of time. So you can't do everything that OData allows with this data. You have to tell the client application what is possible in a certain case. Which fields can you now really update because the state of the business entity allows it? Which data can you freely create, or where have you to rely on some business process pre-creating the data for you so that you can only change it? And the query language of OData is really appealing, but if you have to channel it through an API, you are limited by what the developer of that API foresaw as possible queries. And you have to give the client some hint which kinds of queries are just won't work and what's the area where he can reliably ask questions and get an answer. And we also want to annotate that in the data. We also want to annotate some stuff that is more specific than data types. If I know that some string variable is a URL, I can do things with this URL on my device that I won't do with any other string. It's an email address, I can, can send an email just. So annotations give additional meaning to elementary types. And annotations have one big benefit over naming conventions. You can retrofit them. If we now build some APIs and then we find out, oh, we need another annotation, you can just add that to the existing APIs. No one is going to rebuild their APIs using a new naming convention. That just won't work because it will break existing clients. But adding other annotations is safe because clients can just ignore annotations they are not interested in. So we need annotations. And we need a structured way, a standard way of defining these annotations and of accessing them. Because what we've done in the past is we added SAP-specific annotations in the appropriate extension points of OData and just hoped that all the client libraries out there will ignore our additions. And we had the job of building client SDKs that can extract our SAP annotations and give it to the application on top. And this is very tedious. We don't want to do that anymore. So.
Is that the end of yours?
Yeah.
Okay.
He has taken on the job of taking that work away from us and giving us structured annotations that we can leverage for our business applications so that we can focus on our business again and not on building SDKs.
Can I ask, so there are many such things that are hanging around. For example, you could have picked microformats, right, which has a fairly rich vocabulary of certain things that have been described, right? Is the philosophy that we build upon other such annotation mechanisms, or we are starting from scratch within the OData framework?
The question was, given the presence of other annotation mechanisms such as microformats, was the idea that we would recreate something new, or did we look at those existing microformats and try to model those? The answer is that what we were trying to build was something within OData, something that felt like an extension of the existing OData. But certainly we looked at other schemas that were defined in the industry and thought about how would we represent the semantics of those schemas with the mechanism of the annotation extension in OData. All right. One of the great things about working with SAP is that they find a lot of the problems before we do in terms of they've been great at really using the technology, really building end-to-end solutions around it, and they've come to us and they said, we see this thing happening where we have this need, we have this thing that we're trying to do, and it would be great if OData gave us this capability or this ability here. And what we found is that usually about a month later, we start hearing it other places in the industry as well. So they're a great forecaster of some of the key things that we're going to need in OData. And vocabularies is one of those. We've been talking for quite a while about the need to add additional information to metadata or add additional information to a feed. And so that's come up with annotations and vocabularies. So we've talked a little bit about vocabularies. What are vocabularies? Vocabularies are a set of annotations that you can apply to either metadata or instance data or sometimes both. Okay? So what are some examples of things that you might do with a vocabulary? Well, you might use a vocabulary to extend property information. For instance, you might add units of measurement to properties that are described in your data model. You might specify whether particular properties are read-only or read-write. So you can add additional information to the existing model that's described through dollar metadata. You might add semantics to your model. You might say, this entity type represents a person, and these particular things that I think about as a person having, like first name and last name and social security number, these are the characteristics of the person that I think are interesting to model through the semantic vocabulary. You might use vocabularies for validation. You might say this integer has a range of 1 to 100, or other types of validation that you're applying to your metadata. Now, these are all examples of things. Note that if the client has no clue what the vocabulary is about, has never looked at it, they can still interact with the model the same way that they do today. But now clients have a way of getting richer information from the server as far as some additional semantics that can be applied to that data. Display hints are another great example of that. I might want to, in my feed, say, by the way, if you're a device that's trying to display this feed, this particular field can be used as a caption. It's kind of the overall name or label or caption for this type. These are the sets of fields that you might want to group together in a certain way. Or these are navigations that you might have. Or this particular field represents a summary or a URL. So you can describe how a generic device might display your data in the most efficient way. Ralph talked about this a little bit, service capabilities. You might describe limitations of some of your services, like you must filter on this particular property. And that's a common one when we're building OData over different underlying APIs. Quite often, the underlying API can't show you all orders, can only show you orders for a particular customer. So you have to apply a filter on the customer for the order, and you can describe that through these capabilities. And then there's extensions, and Ralph mentioned this one briefly. One of the things that we've looked at is how do we describe analytic data through OData, and we've been sort of playing around with a vocabulary to describe those analytic aspects of a feed, such that, again, a client can come up to the service, can interact with the data without having any knowledge of the vocabulary. But if the client is an analytic-aware client, it can do some very rich and interesting ways, rich and interesting things with how it deals with that data. All right, so vocabularies are collections of annotations. What is an annotation? An annotation is made up of three things: a target, the thing that the annotation is applied to, a term, which describes the annotation, and a value, which is the value of the annotation. So you might say the target of an annotation is a particular property. The term for it is whether or not it's updatable. And the value is true. Right? So those are the types of things that you can do with annotations. And again, a vocabulary is a set of terms that are grouped together in a common namespace. What can you do with annotations in OData? With an annotation, you can describe what that annotation is in a machine-readable format. So you can say, I'm building a vocabulary around people, and these are the properties of people that I think are interesting in this vocabulary. Or I'm building a vocabulary around display. These are the interesting things to call out in trying to customize a display to this particular set of data. An annotation may be embedded in a model. So as you build your model, you might add annotations directly to the model, like this property is read-only, or this is the property that you should by default display in a list. You can also apply annotations through an external annotation file. That is, if somebody has an existing dollar metadata, like the Netflix OData site has an existing dollar metadata, and I wanted to describe how best to represent that feed on a device like a WinPhone 7 device, I can actually build my annotation in a separate place and point back to that Netflix feed and say, here is how to interpret that feed according to my vocabulary. And you can also apply vocabulary terms to instance data. So within your actual JSON feed or your Atom feed, you can have annotations that call out, maybe overall this particular property is read-write, but on this instance, because of the state of the underlying instance, this property is read-only. So these are the different places that you can use annotations within OData. When you're defining your annotations, you can define them as one of three different types. You can define a value term, and a value term is just a simple single annotation that you can apply to a single value. And you might use that for something like, this is read-only. You know, it's not part of a bigger thing, I'm just specifying this property as read-only. You can use complex types as terms, and you would typically do that if what you were doing is describing that the semanticness of something. You're trying to describe that a particular type in your model is a person, or it is a movie, or something along those lines. And you can describe relationships between types in your semantic layer, in your vocabulary, using collections of other complex types or models of other complex types. And finally, you can use entity types as type terms in your vocabulary definition to say that really a person always has to have a social security number. That's going to be its key. I'm very prescriptive in how I am defining the structure and relationships of that particular type term. We expect value terms and complex terms just in our own usage. This is an interesting area where initially entity type terms were sort of core to the model. And the more we started building vocabularies and applying them and looking at things like schema.org and seeing the types of schemas that they had there and modeling those and mapping them to other OData services, the more we found that the complex types and relationships and collections modeled better the semantics of those vocabularies than entity type terms. So we actually expect the first two to be more common than the third. Okay, so what are some examples? What do annotations and vocabularies look like in the wild? Well, this shouldn't look too foreign to most of you. This is just if you hit a service that exposed customers with dollar metadata, you might see this type of response. So this response is a very simple response that says, I have an entity container named sales. It has an entity type named customer. These are the four properties of customer. This particular one is the key. So that's what we have today in the entity data model for describing the sales entity set. Now, I might define a couple vocabularies around that particular schema. So the first, or in general, that may be applied to that schema. So the first vocabulary I might define is a person vocabulary, to say I have a concept of a person. A person may have a social security number, a given name, a family name, a gender, and an email. Now, I don't know what we're actually going to name those in a particular feed, but those are the characteristics of a person that I think are interesting. So if your feed has something that looks like a person, I want you to be able to tell me, A, that this particular entity type is really representing what I think of as a person, and B, which properties of your entity type map to what I think of as a social security number, a given name, a family name, gender, and email. So we don't have to have the names of the feed be the same as the names in the vocabulary. This gives me a way to map my concept of what a person is on top of your particular feed. And here's an example of a display vocabulary that I might create. So here I might just create a vocabulary where I say there are three different things that I'm interested in tagging as part of my display vocabulary. I want to know which particular property is best to use as a caption. So if you think about a Win 7 phone and you have a list of items, what should I put in that list of items? Secondly, I want a short summary description. So if you're Netflix, the caption might be the name of the movie. And the description might be the short synopsis. And again, on a Win 7 phone, I might have the name and then the short little text underneath that describes it, and then the next name and the short text underneath. And finally, if you have an image URL, if you've got something that I might want to display as a picture, tell me about that too, and I'll do some special behavior around that image URL. Yes?
Yes, could you explain how this might relate to something that was called templates earlier on? Is there any relationship at all?
So the comment is, earlier when we were talking about a JSON-lite format, we referenced this concept of templates. And templates in JSON-lite are this idea that rather than put all of the metadata in the feed, where there are patterns that you can apply to the metadata, you can describe those once, put a reference to where those are described, and you don't have to repeat that in the JSON-lite payload. The syntax for describing those templates is defined using the vocabulary language of ADO.NET. So that's sort of the relationship between those. All right, so now I've talked about a feed that describes a person and some vocabularies that I might apply to any feed. So what would it look like to apply the annotations that I defined to that simple feed? So here's an example of an external annotation file. One of the things that we've added for annotations is this idea, and it's a more general idea than just for annotations, but the idea that one metadata document can reference another metadata document. So we previously had these using statements as part of CSDL, the language that describes an entity data model, and it basically brought into scope certain pieces of information, but you had no way of finding that information. The idea was, somewhere you already had a reference to the data whose namespace was odata or org.odata.display, and now you were just saying that I was going to use this within that particular schema. Reference gives you a way to say, here's where you can go to get that particular metadata that I'm bringing in scope and going to use as part of my model. So then down here, I have a new tag that I can put in my entity data model as part of my entity type, called annotations. So annotations is a new element that allows me to specify the three things, remember, of an annotation. First of all, I specify the target, and the target is the customer entity type in my sales model that I previously saw and that I'm pointing to right here. Secondly, second part of an annotation is the term, and this is saying that the term personvocabulary.person, which is brought in from person vocabulary, which is brought in here. So somewhere someone's described a person vocabulary as part of myerg.com. And so that's the term I'm defining. And then the values are specified through these property values. So the given name from the person vocabulary maps to the first name property of my type. The family name property of the person vocabulary term maps to the last name property of my particular type, and email maps just to email. So there's an example of how I've specified in an external annotation file how somebody's feed relates to possibly somebody else's vocabulary. Here's an example of how I might actually add similar annotations to the metadata if I own the metadata myself. So if I'm Netflix and a lot of people are trying to use a industry-endorsed schema.org description of what a movie is, I might want to add that directly to my feed rather than relying on an external mechanism. So here we have another new construct, which is the annotations reference. Annotations reference is a way to say, go here to get the annotations that might be applied to my particular feed. Here I'm specifying the namespace that I'm bringing into scope, but the really interesting parts are right down here. Here's my entity type customer like I had before, and here in line I'm going to specify that the customer ID is the display title, is the title to use in my display vocabulary. And here I'm specifying a type annotation that says within this customer entity type, here's how you map given name, family name, and email to the person vocabulary. So I can do it directly within the dollar metadata exposed by the service if I think it's going to be something common that people rely on. And finally, as I said, you can embed annotations within an instance. So here's an example of a JSON payload, and here I've added that the JSON payload has customer ID, first name, last name, and email properties. And this is an annotation starting with the at sign. And it specifies that targeting the customer ID property, I want to add this particular annotation from this namespace where the term is the read-only term and its value is true. And if I have multiple different annotations applied to customer ID, I can group them all here together. Does that make sense? All right, so the final construct we saw in examples are the ability now to reference a file that contains annotations, as well as reference other models that may be used in defining those annotations, or other models that may be used and brought into scope that I've derived elements in my model from. All right, so we talked about some different vocabulary examples. The real question that I want to get to, and we've got just a few minutes to spend on this, is what are the vocabularies that are interesting to you? Our goal in OData is to define the mechanism for defining vocabularies and annotations. There are a few core things that we think we need to describe, like capabilities. And then we are really interested to see what you guys do with these. What are the vocabularies that you guys think are interesting? What are the ways that you would like to add semantic information or extend OData through vocabularies? We can have time at the meetup or at the day two tomorrow if there are particular vocabularies that you guys are interested in that you'd like to discuss. Think about it tonight. Think about the ways you want to use vocabularies. Bring them in, and it would be great to have some discussions about different areas. So related to the question earlier, we don't think that we are the clearinghouse for all vocabularies. We want to define the structure for those vocabularies. We want to look at industry places where vocabularies are already defined and use those. So schema.org has a set of vocabularies around searchable, consumer-oriented things. And we want to understand how we would describe those things using an OData vocabulary. So whether the data, regardless of the format that the data is in, we can understand the semantics around it using a common set of semantics. What are some of the other things? Does anyone have any that they can think of right now that they'd like to use?
So Adam defines the syndication attributes, and I'm just wondering how that relates, because it's defined in the EMX, seems very similar. Tooling's not so great for Visual Studio for managing those things, but obviously they're fairly important to the Adam serialization of data.
So the question is around the syndication elements in Adam.
So right, syndication attributes defined in EMX for Adam serialization of OData. They do practically the same thing in almost the same way. I mean, it's a different syntax, but I'm wondering, right, is there any relationship? I mean, can you define your syndication attributes, for example, using this format? Or
right,
do you have to define them using the other format?
So I think the question is around, we actually added in EDMX 1.2, I think, the ability to define annotations within the EDMX. Is that what you're talking about? And
I think it's about the, so Atom is basically a vocabulary for describing content that can be federated. So it has, you know, author and
sure,
pretty much like Dublin Core kind of.
It's
yeah,
it's
interesting with Dublin Core in some sense, so to the core part of Dublin Core.
Yeah. Okay.
So the question is, you know, how does that relate to?
Okay, sure. You confused me a little bit when you were talking about, so there's kind of two different things. EDMX does have the ability to define annotations today, and it's a more general mechanism. We actually are kind of deprecating that a little bit for this, whether you're in OData or EDM in general, for this annotation model, which is a little bit stricter, a little bit better defined, but it uses the annotations of EDMX. Separately, we have a feature today in ADO.NET called friendly feed mappings or custom mappings. And friendly feed mappings allow you to map individual properties of an entity type to the syndication elements of an atom feed. So you can specify, for instance, this property of my entity type called author or author first name maps to the author property of the atom syndication feed. So and in EDM today, we have the ability to specify those mappings through an OData extension. The mapping of properties in your entity model to your atom feed is more of a serialization mapping that we do, where we're saying when you serialize, since somebody who's consuming an atom payload may be looking for this particular information in this particular piece, specify how that mapping occurs, and it's in the metadata that we mark that up. This is a little bit different, and what this is saying is, regardless of the encoding, regardless of how the format that you're writing out the information, this is the semantic meaning of this particular property. So you're right, there is an interesting relationship here. This is being a little bit more general and saying, regardless of whether I'm serializing as Atom or JSON or any other format we might choose in the future, this is the meaning of this particular property. Any other questions?
Do you have an example of use of the vocabulary on an instance formatted as Atom?
I don't in the deck, but I can show one to you later. The question is, can I see an example of what an annotation looks like in Atom, an instance annotation? We had one for JSON. The instance annotation in Atom looks fairly similar in that it's an element that we use then that is targeting the particular property, and then its value is I'll show you an example of it. It's hard to explain, but it, when you look at it, you say, okay, I see what that's doing. Any other questions? All right, I think we're up to lunch. KB?